You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast, which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. I am thrilled for my incredibly vibrant guest today. But before I introduce her, I just want to give a shout out to my sponsors at Blue Chew. If you're having problems with your performance in the bedroom, try Blue Chew. You can try the first month for free. Just pay $5 in shipping. Go to bluechew.com and use code Holly. Okay, so my next guest has actually been on the show twice, but very briefly at conventions. I've wanted to have her on for a full interview for a very long time, and I'm so excited to have her here. She's one of my favorite people to work with. She's like a combination of sexy and intelligent and funny and awkward and adorable and all of those things in one. May I please introduce you, the one and only Demi Sutra.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yay.
Do I look here?
Yes, no, look at me.
Okay, great.
Look at me.
It's so good to be here. It's finally.
I know, yeah. I know, finally. And we also have your lovely dog who's favoring Ernie right now.
Yeah.
So we'll cut to her when she decides to make an appearance.
Yeah, she's got lots of fans.
And what's her full name?
Lucifer Lucille Elizabeth Wilson Sutra.
Wow. What made you decide to give her so many names?
Well,
does each one like have a meaning to you?
No. I just like her personality is so extra and over the top and ridiculous. And so I just kept naming her. And so now she needed to have like my last name and then my porn last name. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just Lucy for short.
Okay. Lucy.
But with an I. God damn it.
Lucy with an I. Okay. Lucy with an I. Can you come to the front of the desk so everybody can see you?
Hey girl, come here. Come here. How can I like show you off?
Oh, and she wore her cute things. Aww. She's so cute.
So cute. Oh my God. This is the first time we've ever had a dog on the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hello. Yes, please say something. Sniffing the mic.
Oh, my God.
So fucking cute.
I'm taking this thing home. I love her. Anyway, yeah.
So, Demi.
Yes.
Why has it taken you so long to come on my show?
Oh, my God. I'm just like so busy and important. Mm. Total lies. Mm. I like struggle deeply with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your shows bring that out. It gives like a really good I guess, introduction for fans to get to know who they're watching on a deeper level. And I feel like I both run from it and then also into it at the same time. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, online, I can be very confrontational and upfront about how I feel. And then I carry that throughout my career. But when it comes to, like, me being cracked open, like, with somebody, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's definitely more difficult. So I've never really done anything like this. And, Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and it's really good to be here.
Well, I'm honored to have you here. Yeah. And if any point you feel like uncomfortable, we're getting too vulnerable or too like deep into it, you can always just like pull your tits out or like
flip
show your
table.
Butthole. Yeah, I mean, like whatever like gets you back in that like safe space.
That's good.
So I guess we'll start, you know, let's start at the beginning. What led you down this long, illustrious path of working in the adult industry to end up here at our table today? How did you get started?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go. Just kidding. well, I had always been very attracted to sensual, sexual, sexy women. I've always, like, I grew up with a very strict mom and a strict household. Like, grades were very important.
Your mom's a teacher, right?
Yeah, she taught for 35 years. So, like, she was very, like, one way. And then I'm, like, this completely opposite way from her, where I'm like, she's very like organized and like by the book, and I'm like, absolutely not. And so I guess like growing up like that, I could possibly say that strict parenting, because you know there's always that argument, I think strict parenting might actually do the like restrictive slingshot effect, mm-hmm. or at least on me it had that, because I was very like cookie cutter. We do our hair this way, and we go to school, and this is what we do, and we're very serious and very American, and like, so I think all those things kind of made me like, fuck it, like, and mm-hmm. just I had always been very attracted to sexually energetically like driven women, and like I mean I grew up with like a poster of Beyonce on the wall, and I've always been attracted to it. And I started off working at restaurants like I worked at Twin Peaks. So in New Mexico, where I'm from, Twin Peaks is like comparable to Hooters.
Okay.
Oh. Or like,
oh, I get it.
You
now.
Guys have Ojos Locos here? No. Uh-uh. Okay. So these are what you would call restaurants.
Restaurants.
Yeah, literally, this was in my paperwork when I got the job.
Wait, it said like welcome to the restaurant, like
yeah.
restaurant application.
Yeah, and they would like encourage us. Like it was in my paperwork. Like, okay, like, you need to sit with the guests, flirt with the guys. And so I fucking loved it. I was having a blast. And I always looked at porn stars, and they always had, like, these, like, huge tits and, like, long blonde hair at the time. And, like, I thought that was just it. And that was, like, the image that was put onto me growing up as like the sexiest thing, because you know you see Marilyn Monroe, and then I remember watching The Playmates and like loving that. I loved Kendra especially because she was so like oh yeah, I get down and dirty, but I'm also like a goofy little slut, and mm-hmm. I loved that. I was attracted to that, so I watched that paired with Tyra Banks on, like, what, America's Next Top Modeling. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, I think where I got the idea that I really wanted to be that and embody that, especially, like, so I feel like I'm, like, a mix of those types of things. Like, they heavily influenced me. Is also Queen of the Damned, like that movie. Like, literally, I just watched it.
That was starring Aaliyah, right?
Yeah, starring Aaliyah, Queen of the Damned, cult classic. Like, one of the most impactful movies I've ever watched, because you just see, like, this beautiful black, like, queen in like gold jewelry, and like she's a vampire and she doesn't give a fuck, and she just embodies the dark feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's over. Like, I worked at the little, like, the restaurants. I even worked at Hooters. And then I started stripping. Mm. And it was, at first it started as a joke.
So tell me about, like, that first stripping experience.
Got it. So I go, and it's, like, two of my girlfriends, and we go out, and it's, like, a, it's amateur night. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So it's, like, nothing mm-hmm. crazy, but the prize is, like, $200. And they were, like, encouraging me, and one of the strippers encouraged me. I was like, okay, some hottie with tits in my face is telling me to do something. I'm probably going to do it. So I joined their amateur night, and I remember just, like, winning. And I remember, like, standing up there on that fucking stage. This actually, I won, and then they had me come back. Because they were like, you can work here. And I remember standing up on that stage. Like, at this point, I had gotten the pleaser heels and the little, like, stripper store outfit. And, like, I stood up and I, like, look around and everyone's fucking eyes are on me. And at that point, I was like, yes. Like, this is fucking power. I'm just, like, literally this dainty little thing getting everyone to fucking stare at me and, like, give me that. Because I grew up not, like, full-on ugly duckling story. So mm-hmm. that's where I was, like, I fully embodied my power. And I think that happens time and time again throughout life as a woman or a person who's in tune with their sexual energy. I think mm-hmm. it happens repeatedly. But that was, like, my first one. And then, yeah, I guess I went for, you know, relationships happen. Every guy I've ever dated has made me quit my sex job. So I ended up quitting and then getting a regular job, and then that sucked, unfulfilled. And then I end up looking online. Like, I was in a relationship with this guy and I was going to marry him. And then he got abusive, unfortunately, mm. and, like, was, like, an alcoholic. And so I left. I was like, I'm 100% done. And then I was, like, looking online at, like, sexyjobs.com. Oh, like, God. All that these,
site,
like.
Does that site still exist?
I don't think it still exists. I don't think but so. It was, like, Craigslist, sexyjobs.com. I was, like, very, like, interested in, like, what I could get myself into. And it was very, like, not the safest way to do it. I would never suggest anyone to do it how I did it, but I just pretty much found an ad, and it was like, I remember word for word, it was like this girl, like, laying on a beach, like, and it was like, would you want to be on vacation and also make money? And I was like, I'm yes. gonna fucking think that's me. Yeah, it's me. Like, and so, yeah, that's how I got fucking flown out to Miami, Florida with one of the shadiest agents I have run into. But that was my start. And I that was, like, what I was, like, fucking 22 in Miami. And I shot a couple things, like, four or five scenes. I had a mohawk, like, straight up. They had no idea what to do with me because at the time they were, like, unfortunately, it was, like, there was one specific type of black woman that was shooting porn, and it was for very black porn. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't fit that category. And then there was the only other type was, like, maybe a light skin, like a fair skinned woman with, like, straight hair. And I didn't fit that either at mm-hmm. all, obviously. And so, yeah, it was just, I got slapped in the face with racism pretty hard. And I quit immediately. I was like, I can't do this. I had people asking me to fake my race and, like, all this crazy shit.
Fake your race?
Yeah. They were saying, like, we'll shoot you, but we have to market you as Latina. And I'm like, I'm literally not. And also, that's stupid as fuck because it doesn't you can be Latina and black. Yeah. But remember, this is Florida, so... Yeah. Like, it was real bad. So I ended up just getting in a relationship, and I worked at, like, one of the most prominent strip clubs in fucking America, and it's Club Miami. And I had a blast, and then, but I decided I still wanted to shoot porn, so I left my boyfriend, went on, like, sugardaddydating.com just to see if I could, like, fuck random dudes. Mm-hmm. And, like, enjoy myself. And I did. I really, really did. And so then I want to say, like, what, 2018? That's when I was, like, doing extensive research, finding what I thought to be the best agency, and lined myself up some shoots in L.A., did it. I met with Spiegler, got with his agency, and, like, the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah.
So
let's go back. Tell me about your very first scene. Was it a boy-girl or a girl-girl?
My very first porn scene was... It was a boy-girl, yeah. And it was with this guy. I don't remember his name, but... I was absolutely terrified, and, like, because they saw the mohawk, I think they really, like, shushed up the mohawk, and it was just, like, a regular, like, it was, I think, for Reality Kings.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was, like, it was pretty basic, just a basic scene. I looked absolutely clueless.
As everyone does in their first scene.
Please don't look at it, anyone. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with my first scene.
So were you nervous going into it? And, like, did you start to, like, when it started happening, did it feel like, okay, this is something I can do? Or
my first scene when I, like, in Florida, or my first?
Your very first scene. Because that's, like, usually a pivotal moment in people's lives.
I was absolutely excited. I was absolutely like, this is definitely what I want to fucking do. Like, the worst part of the day was paperwork. The rest was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, I have people doing my makeup, this and that. It was really, it was so exciting. Yeah. I was very much like, this is what I want to do. And I could not believe that I was, like, doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then, so then you signed with Spiegler, and you started doing more scenes, and then you signed with Brothers.
Yeah, so a little bit in between. So I signed with Spiegler. I think I was with him for 2 years, from, like, what, 2018 to the end of 2019, and... After that, I mean, I kind of endured a lot. This industry puts everyone through the ringer, but being, like, a black woman in this a white dominant industry where they can be, like, very outwards with their racism kind of broke me down. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the second I started actually, because my scenes were like, I got a couple really cool scenes, but for me, I kind of was watching, like, a lot of other people surpass me based off of skin color alone and connection to youth, like looking more perhaps youthful. That is something I noticed right away, because everyone was so against me getting a boob job, and I didn't understand why until I realized, like, oh, this breaks your fantasy of me being, like, super youthful looking because of the breast size.
Right, so now they can't stick you in the teen category.
So now I'm leaving the teen category, you're in that, which was the fucking goal.
You're in, like, that weird middle category between, like, teen and MILF, where they're like, yeah, you're just a hot 20-year-old. Like, what do we do with you? Like, we can't.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's, like, ridiculous.
It's really insane. So, yeah, I where did I go? I lost my train of thought.
So you got, we were getting to you signing with Brazzers, but you got a boob job and people were against
it. Okay, I wanted to hit on that a little bit just because it was like a lot of people see my career as like she got in and then she's Spiegler and then Brazzers, and it's like it was actually a lot harder than all of that, I would say. And I also had my agency. My goal was Brazzers, and everyone told me they would just never sign me, including my agency. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, this is fucking useless, and I feel awful. I felt like I was pressured to, like, people were trying to pressure to meet me to do things. I had a really low rate. Like, no one would pay me more, or I was told that no one would pay me more. So I left, and then I immediately had a full-on breakdown because of a couple things. One of them being, like, I think I kind of outed, like, I was told not to talk about one of my scenes for Vixen that went really wrong, where Black women were treated extremely poorly, and also just talent in general, where we were in unhealthy, unclean conditions, and it was a very long day, and it was just very bad. And so after, like, I was threatened into silence, I lost my fucking mind. And after I, like, you know, had pretty much, like, been, like, almost assaulted by this guy, like, and to see him working again and then have, like, nobody do anything about it and everyone kind of move forward, I broke down and I left. This was like,
was this a scene partner?
Yeah, it was a scene partner. And it was like it was like a wank CDR.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I mentioned them because I do think it's a dangerous company, and I do I want people to be careful. So anyway, yeah, the guy changed his name and everything, came back in, tried to assault me. I reported it, and then, like, nothing really happened. And a couple things happened.
You reported it?
I mean, I told my agent, and then I said, you know, I want him obviously on my no list. This guy's horrible. I do feel like my agent screamed at everybody. But I was then told that I was actually not allowed to have a no list. So to me, being told that I am not allowed to have a no list, that's me losing autonomy over my body. Mm-hmm. That gets into a sticky area.
Yeah.
That's very not cool. That's very unsafe, very bad. So I basically just left the industry in 2019, and I was just like, I'm never fucking doing this again. And that's when I just went public about how I really felt about everything. And I said, I named names, I named companies, everyone blacklisted me, and I didn't give a fuck because I was like, you guys put me through too much. You put other people through too much. And so then, when I thought everything was done and I was like, so I was pretty removed and just doing OnlyFans solo stuff, Brazzers reached out and I was like, what? And they were like, I remember the phone call, and like, I remember them being like, yeah, we want to contract you. And I was like,
was that, like, what? So out of left field?
Yeah,
for you?
It was so out of left field because I had just, like, burned so many bridges, called out so many companies, people, everything that wronged me. And so I really was just like, I don't care. And this was around the time when, like, not a lot of people were speaking out. And it's not because they were cowards, it's because we didn't really have the financial bearings to reach out and risk being blacklisted.
Yeah.
But I felt like confident in my OnlyFans enough to be like, I don't care. I don't need any of this. And we all were really lucky during like 2020. We mm-hmm. were some of the luckiest people, I would say, on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, COVID really like changed things and everyone's OnlyFans exploded.
So.
And that was probably that moment when you really realized you could be independent and you could survive.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, I'm totally done now. And then I still didn't want to shoot porn. I felt like beaten by the industry. I felt like there was not going to be any change because so many before me have like said things for so many years and years. I was just over it. And then Brazzers reaches out and I was like, are you fucking serious? Absolutely, yes. And so I did. I signed with them.
Just curious, did you ask them like why they reached out to you? Because, I mean, you seem so surprised. So did you?
I don't think I asked why. I was confused. And then they were like, do you not want to do this? And I was like, no, I do. You know what? I did. We had that discussion about, like, why? Because I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, and they actually did say that they were working to make a lot of changes on their end and that they want to own up to – like a lot of wrongdoing and a lot of like race exclusive sites and titles is something that they wanted to like, they were very serious about. They were serious about not working with people that were extremely racist and outward mm-hmm. about it. And so they said that I was like extremely aligning with them and the changes that they were wanting to make. And, yeah, that's why I signed, because I was like, this company seems to give a shit, so let's...
Did it surprise you that, like, probably the biggest adult company in the industry, one of the biggest adult sites for sure, if not the biggest, like, wanted to align with you on that? Like, were you surprised? Because, you know, we talk so much about how corporations only care about money. They only care about money. They don't care about people.
Right.
Like, was this a surprise to see a corporation essentially caring about people?
I was definitely surprised. I was also suspicious mm-hmm. because what I've been through in this industry has been a lot of bullshit. Like, I would say it's like 90% of what like people have said to me in this industry is bullshit.
Yeah.
So...
Just in business in general.
Yeah.
Just full of shit.
Yeah. Them reaching out, I was surprised, but I felt like, how can I say this? I felt like they did it in such a respectful way in which it benefits both of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I think companies are kind of starting to see that actually black porn does sell mm-hmm. and black women are extremely sexy and beautiful and valuable and bring in a ton of money. I know I fucking bring them in money because they would not be having me re-sign this much. And I think that OnlyFans proved that to me because before OnlyFans, I literally thought that my worth was so very little in this industry. And seeing it right there in front of your face and seeing your fans not complain about, like, anything, like, your hair, like, natural hair. Like, the more natural I went, the less I gave a fuck. Like, I literally stopped shaving my armpits. I stopped putting on makeup. And I just had my hair natural, or I would change my hair to whatever color. This all was because of a depressive episode. I was just, like, trying to find something. And, like, I made more money doing that and dropping the ideologies yeah. of, like, perfection that porn had put onto me. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I had to be very cookie cutter once again. And then it's like the less I did, the more yeah. money and the more of a reaction I got.
It's so interesting because it's like an experience like that. And I think what OnlyFans has shown us is people really strive for that connection. Like people, yeah. and they want that authenticity. Like people love authenticity as much as the media and society tries to tell you that like you should look and you should be this way. Like, truthfully, and yeah. I think one of the good things about social media has shown that people just love, like, authentic
yeah.
people. Like, I look at your TikTok and, like, the ridiculous stuff that you put on there, and I could never, like, be like that, like, as just you are, like, you ridiculous. Love to, like, make faces where, like, you, like, yeah. try to look ugly. I mean, you can't look ugly, but you try. You try very hard. And, like, I can't do that because I'm way too vain. But I'm just, I no. look at that and I'm just like, what a free soul. You know, I just love it. Yeah. Like, I just love it. Oh, I love how authentic you are and, like, how silly you are. Like, all of yeah. that is just feels so endearing because it, I don't know, it just makes you feel like you're just, like, it's relatable, you know?
Yeah. I think my fans really like that, too. They know that I'm, like, an actual person. So mm-hmm. I'm, like, a relatable human being. So I don't know. It just worked. I was absolutely shocked because I went from, like, wearing, like, the weaves. Not that there's anything wrong with them. I'll still wear them. I love changing it up. But I thought I had to wear, like, weaves and have my nails be fucking white and clean all the time with nothing and everything. My skin needs to look perfect. And it's like, they just don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they just simply do not give a shit. Like, there was a time when I would not shoot anything unless I had eyelashes on and, like, wouldn't eat. Like, it got into unhealthy, like, behavioral patterns because mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I have a shoot tomorrow. Okay, oh my God, I'm bloated. I look disgusting. And I'm like, it really, like, is all in your head, and it's crazy. Especially, I do like to see now, like, you see more shapes and sizes in porn. Mm-hmm. And they're not restricted to, not that BBW is restricting only. I think it's positive. But they're not, like, restricted to this. Like, I'm not restricted to black scenes because mm-hmm. that was a thing. Like, mm-hmm. there was, I was very much told to my face by several companies, like, oh, I wish we could shoot you more, but we, like, met our black girl quota. Like, we only have 3 black girl scenes a month.
Okay, so
yeah.
for them to have that is one thing. For them to say that to you.
And it was, like, a, like, couple. It was, like, at least 5
so
prominent,
cringy.
Like, directors for companies said this to me. And, like, man, it just, like, it beats you fucking down. Yeah. Like, the only, like, I fully believe that I got popular because I was, like, the backup girl. I was always available. Being a speaker girl means you are always ready to go. You're always tested, and you're gonna do a lot for maybe not, like, the highest rate. So that's why, like, you get booked more than other girls. And also, they're beautiful, but, mm-hmm. like, there's tactics here in play that I think, like, I wish I had known about, and that I think a lot more people are finding out about, that there's all these tactics, and it kind of takes, it doesn't necessarily take away from the glamour, but it just adds more of a chance and equals a playing field, and, like, helps eases the mind of the newer, like, the newcomers that mm-hmm. are, like, wondering why they don't get this and these other people might get that and this and that. There's, like, so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
So.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY. So, Demi, we definitely, like, touched on racism and, you know, what you've experienced in the industry.
Yes.
What's your opinion on, like, categories such as ebony? Do yeah. you feel that that's a good thing? Do you feel it's a bad thing? I've heard different perspectives from different
yeah.
performers.
I think it is just so fucking confusing at this point, because before I was like, abolish all categories, only look up sex acts. This is, like, detrimental to society. So that's one way to think of it as like, yeah, we should just look up sex acts. But then another aspect is like from the viewer's point of view, being that like, what if you want to see yourself in the porn? Like, what if it's a POV and you are a black man? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you'll want to see black men fucking whoever they're fucking,
right.
Specifically. So, like, how does one look that up if there's no category? And it's like, people will argue, like, names. But, like, before porn, I think I knew about 3 porn star names.
Yeah.
So
most porn consumers don't necessarily know people by name.
Yeah, I knew, like, literally 3. So I still see the need for it, and we've already, like, done, I think, with the, like, porn companies and the tube sites, they've kind of already done it. They've already, like, we're all categorized by race, being, like, race being specifically what we look like, mm-hmm. not what our ethnic background actually is, per se, just, like, what we fucking look like. So I guess I'm not really for or against it. When it comes to, like, porn titles, I'm absolutely against it. But when it comes to, like, just sites, it's almost like I don't really know another thing that they could do. Like, I don't have a way to fix this. I don't even have any ideas on how to fix it or if it needs fixing, because this is just like certain people have a type and it's a physical type, so maybe they want to, like, look up that type of person. Mm-hmm. Is it right or wrong? I don't know. Yeah. Like, I literally don't know. I used to be very black and white with this type of stuff, and now I'm kind of like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So I'm not for or against it, per se. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Have there been any, you mentioned movies. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen yourself featured in a movie or on the cover of, like, a DVD mm-hmm. box cover with a title that was just, like, deeply offensive?
Yes. I definitely have, multiple times. That's why I just, like, I feel for the people coming in, because you don't always, like, it's for in my experience, I was not told the title of what I would be doing or even the website. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like minding my business on fucking Twitter, and then I see, like, something from Dog Fart that's like, wet black tits, or like, wefuckblackgirls.com. I think that's literally the name of their website. And to me, I'm like, that is so gross and grimy. I think when you build a website off of the fetishization of a race of a person, I think that's absolute trash. And I think that's completely wrong. And I think sites like Blacked, I've always fucking screamed about Blacked and Dog Fart. And it's funny because people always attack me. I get, like, severe attacks. I mean, death threats, violent photos sent to me, just so much hatred. And it used to break my heart. It used to really break me down. Now I don't really give a shit. I think they're all trolls, and I think they're ignorant, because they get mad at me for working with white men and then also shitting on black.com. But what they're, like, neglecting to recognize is me shooting with white men is not the same as a company fetishizing black men in the way in which they do. Like, these are two completely different things. Like, I'm anti-racist. And when I call out racism, I'm often met with, oh, but you fuck white guys.
But it's like these scenes that you're doing, it's not like Demi Sutra fucks a white man.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's not sold like that.
I'm not working for whited, you know? This is like, it's literally blacked, like, and blacked. The word alone, like seeing it thrown across the bodies of all these white women is just like so disgusting to me. And so like this is not like historically this is going to look fucking bad because blacked, just the word alone comes from, it's derived from a different word. We all know the fucking word. It's the N-word. Mm-hmm. Hard R, because when back in the day, literally not that long ago, by the way, there were white women having sex with black men, and then they were somehow, like, tainted or whatever, and, like, they were seen as dirty or ruined because they, like, their Puritan white body was touched by this big, mean, animalistic black man, which, like, even if you look into the science, like, even the science was racist because, like, they tried to scientifically prove that black men were closer to animals than humans. And so that's where the, like, oh, you're white and you're fucking a black dude. Now you're tainted. This is so taboo and crazy. Became even more taboo when it was actually legal, when it was actually okay to do. And it was more widely accepted, but it was barely accepted. It was accepted in the sense that if a white man got mad that you fucked a black that you, as a black man, fucked his white sister, you're getting, like, hung. Like, you're getting, like, you're getting X, Y, or Z'd.
Yeah.
And so now when we market things like blacked, a site based on these big, tatted black males with huge monster cocks fucking these skinny, like, frail-bodied, no shade, white women, and, like, they're literally being told not to smile and told to, like, point out and repeatedly say, black, black, his black dick, like, this black man is fucking me, and, like, all this shit. It's the same thing. They are capitalizing on a taboo reference, a taboo thing from the past. And they're appeasing white men. Who do you think watches the site?
Like, yeah. You know, I had King Noir on a while ago, and he made a really good point talking about, like, the racist roots of, like, the BBC word, the big black cock, and how, like, it's ingrained in slavery.
Yeah.
And how when they would, you know, buy slaves off the market, they would, you know, because they had like these breeding farms. I mean, I don't need to tell you this, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
But this was like a real education for me. They had these breeding farms. And so they would, you know, look for these black slaves. And these white men thought that, like, oh, the bigger the dick they have, the more viral they are, the more likely they are to impregnate these other slaves because we need more slaves.
Like, they were treated as cattle and put on display. So it's really crazy because there's like a black male experience with racism and then a black female experience. People negate to separate the two. Like, the black men were put on display for their penis sizes, and then the black women were put on display for their, like, curves to see, like, okay, well, she's got childbearing hips. She can create more property. Yeah. For us. So this is good. And it was just like, so black women, and obviously there was a lot of rape, like they were raped a lot. And like it was just like the black female body was used and like so beaten and so sexualized, and so was the black male body, but it's like different. Mm-hmm. It's different. So now when I think when people, when black people see black women with white men, or even just being sexual, being sexy, being sexually liberated, free, I think it triggers something like that. And then they like, I think it goes back that far.
Yeah.
I think it goes back that far. 'Cause when you see the black men, they're just worshipped and idolized for their, like their penis size and the amount of women they work with and them working with white women. Like, it's almost fucking glamorized. Mm-hmm. It is glamorized. And then for me, when I work with white men, it's like I am literally torn down. I'm currently being torn down online for doing my first anal scene with Alex Jones, and they're saying that he's not black enough. So I'm just like, and like all through 2020 and 21, like all of my content was with black men. So like it's not, even when I was trying to appease the masses of what my fans were saying, I thought they were my fans. These are not my fans. But there were tons of people screaming at me for working with white dudes. So it's like, all right, so I actually have worked with Isaiah Maxwell more than anyone in this industry.
Well, you should, because he is lovely.
Yeah,
I'm love like Isaiah.
It's literally untrue. They see me with, like, I would say it's pretty much 50-50 straight yeah. up, because especially now, because that's something that I 100% request is like, I need to be working with black people, or I'm just not happy. Like, I like a good mix. And even in, like, 2020, when I was just working with black men on OnlyFans, the second I got with Brazzers, they fucking lost their minds. And I'm like, it's so interesting to me that these same bullies scream at me for working with every type of race, but they scream at me for shitting on blacks.com with very valid, like, concerns, my very valid concerns. And the reason why I come harder for Blacked than any other company is because it's so glamorized, not because I worked for Dog Fart, so I'm not going to come for them. I already did it. I've did the same thing for the past like 6 years. The records are there. A lot of people say I don't come for other things like Dog Fart, and I never say anything about what is it? Fuck, there's a really fucked up site. I don't even want to say the name of it.
Okay.
But it's like a site where black women are basically essayed. It looks like they're being essayed, and they puke and they drink it, and it's called Ghetto Gaggers, actually.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people, like a lot of the rebuttal I get is like, oh, you don't say anything to them. And it's like, yes, I did. I have for years. And actually, honestly, it's incredibly obvious that these are bad sites. Whereas with Blacked.com, it's so well shot and there's so much money put into it that people just see it as glamorous. But these are two of the same things. They're just doing it in different ways, but yeah. They're doing the same thing. And it's like nobody seems to care because they want money and they see opportunity. And I mean, I don't hate the people that worked for these sites. I just don't align with them. And that's fine, because I don't know anyone else's story. Maybe you really need that money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, say that, oh, I've never done anything in my career that I regret, because I definitely have. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you kind of – it's about integrity, and once you reach a point in which you can sustain yourself, what happens then?
Right.
Like, what do you do next? Are you going to continue doing that dumb shit for clout? And most of them have unfortunately proven to do that. So,
Yeah. It's something that is just talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of people on who've
It's tiring. It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And I do a lot for my community. I always have. I've always pushed black women more than anyone else because we have the least amount of opportunities in this industry than any other person. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like black women and then perhaps like Asian men.
Yeah.
Like we have the fucking hardest time in this industry. And it's like, I would like to prove that you can still, like, you can still do it. Cause, like, I told everyone to go fuck themselves and then I got a Brazzers contract. So you can stand up for yourself and have your integrity and, like, have your meltdown, tell everyone to fuck off and then still, like, come back as long as you're, like, I think your heart is true and you like what you're doing.
Yeah. So speaking of meltdowns,
yeah,
you've always been very, very open about your struggles with mental health.
Excuse me. Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, where do I start? What would you like to know?
Well, okay. Well, here's a good question. So there's a lot of people who would argue that being in porn would exacerbate your mental health, that it would make it worse for you.
Yeah. Okay.
How has your experience been like in that regard?
I can absolutely agree with that statement. I do think that porn can quite easily exacerbate your mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I got extreme body dysmorphia, which then led to a pretty serious eating disorder, actually, which was so weird for me. Because I'm 32, and this happened when I was, like, I don't know, 28, 29, I don't even know. But in my career, I reached a point where I thought I needed to starve myself in order to get booked. Like, your brain, what I've noticed is your brain will, whatever, like, it will attach itself to this idea that, like, if you're not confident within yourself and you struggle with self-esteem and mental health issues, especially depression and compulsivity and autism, like, seeing those, you're going to see injustice and you're going to do the comparison thing, and it can break you down. So, yeah, I do think the porn industry can exacerbate your mental health issues in an extremely devastating way.
Do you think that that also happens, like, across other industries that focus on your physical appearance as well? Like fashion modeling?
I would say so. I see fashion models almost glamorize their anorexia all mm-hmm. the time. I think in porn we kind of, like, we don't exactly glamorize it. But a lot of, I would say 9.5 out of 10 people, both men, women, them, everyone has struggled with the body dysmorphia thing or the comparison thing or thinking that, like, you're not good enough and this is the reason why. So fix it and then you'll get it. And then you do it and then you do the next thing. Like, and it's like, no, it's actually not. It's like internal. So I do think it exacerbated my mental health, but it also keeps me going now. Like, now I feel like even when I'm, like, super depressed and I've let everything go, like, it almost motivates me to remain healthy because I saw how quickly everything deteriorates when you become unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a lot of people choose drugs and alcohol to help with that, which I have also done. I've also done that to where you're, like, leaving. You just want to leave. I got to a point in my career where it was so – I was so getting everything I wanted and so detached – that I, like, would just physically leave my body. And if I couldn't mentally do it, I would just use a substance to force myself out of my body, but to do the job I needed to, I felt that I needed to do, even though I didn't want to necessarily do that job. Mm-hmm. I was just like, all right, I just won't deal with this. I'll just fucking drink and like talk about it later. I'll just deal with it later. I thought it disappeared it. Mm-hmm. I want to make very clear that it never erases it. Like, it just puts it on the back burner and it comes up later in life. Because I feel like I did that a lot in my 20s where I was like, oh, I really don't want to do this. I'm not being paid enough. I don't like the guy. I don't trust the situation. I don't like this. And I was just like, fuck it. I'll just like slam some drinks and like get the job done.
Right.
And like, it was bad. It got dark.
So do you feel like you're in a better place now, and how did that happen? Like, how'd you get there?
I feel like I'm in an amazing place now. It's not perfect. Like, I still have manic depressive episodes. I struggle very much with ADHD. I am autistic. It's like a roller coaster. So what I've learned is that I'm kind of a go with the flow person that needs structure at time, and the structure necessity fluctuates in the sense that sometimes I need like, this is what I'm gonna, literally like my lists will be like brush teeth, meditate, get in the shower, do hair, and then it's like, eat food, drink water. Like, I sometimes, some days I just need that. And then other days when I'm more manic, like on the upswing of it, coming out of a low perhaps. And when I say low, I mean a depressive episode, can't leave the bed, suicidal thoughts, like all of these things. After that, I kind of tend to go high. And that's when, like, all my ideas and my creativity and everything's pumping, and I have to try to, like, organize and manage everything. And then I also have learned to, like, prepare myself for the low. Mm. So now I can, like, I make – if I'm up there, if I'm, like, manic, I'm going to make all my meals. I ordered my, like, little containers so that I can make sure I'm eating, I'm drinking water – and I'm okay. And, like, fortunately, I'm at a place in life where I don't have to depend on mainstream at all. So if I'm having a bad day and I don't want to work and I just can't do it, then I just won't. I'll just honor that and try to, like, pop my plants or pay attention to the dog more. So I will say, like, while for me it did at first, the industry did kind of beat my ass with the comparison, the racism, the, you know, all of the bad. I still have all of the good. I have, like, financial freedom. I have exciting, like, things that are coming out. I love doing new things. I feel like I'm just now relearning how to have sex. It's so fucking weird. Like, people think I'm such a cliche. I'm such a fucking cliche because it's like people think that I'm like this, oh my God, I'm this porn star. I'm so sexual and like confident and like, fuck yeah. When in reality, like if I like someone, I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Hi, you're pretty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kira deals with it. Like, I don't know how to.
Kira Noir, by the way. She does talk about that a lot.
Oh, good. Yeah. Because it's really, it's very, like, it's very strange to me, but it's also, like, exciting. I'm trying to be excited past the awkwardness of, like, relearning, like, intimacy and true intimacy. Because, like, sex and fun and the wild stuff is fine. But what I actually am deeply attracted to is intimacy. In different forms, which don't really include sex. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's wild to like, because I spent so much time leaving my body and not being present in my body for sex. I now am like here, I'm very present, and I'm like, wow, it's like I feel like a fucking virgin. Like, I feel like such a nerd with sex. I'm like, oh, what do we do? Oh, my God, it's happening. Like, you know, but it's refreshing to know that I can do that and you can come back. Because I've been through a lot, and to come back, it means a lot to me. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the journey back and the person that you become after you go through those things, I think is – it's kind of what life's all about, right? Because it's not a real, it's not like an easy ride for anybody.
Yeah.
And it's how you weather those storms.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So speaking of Kira, you're in a polyamorous relationship at the moment. So tell us about that. How is that going?
So that's going really good. I love her very much. I want to make it clear that, like, I am dating her. I'm not dating Leo. She's dating Leo. So that's like completely separate. This is my first experience with a polyamorous relationship. And I will say it is a struggle dealing with like jealousy and things like that. Like I struggle with, but it also is almost relieving in the sense that like I don't have to be someone's everything all the time. Mm. And that's really nice. Like with my, especially with my like mental health, like I isolate and I will literally need time alone and I don't have to worry about somebody who's so codependent on me being there or being perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love her a lot. I don't know. I have loved her for so long and I just don't see it ever stopping. Like even if we were to like not, I think like we would still have the same love mm-hmm. for each other, which is really special because like there's not a lot of people I could say that about. Yeah. Like I'm usually like I don't know, I've just loved her for a really long time.
Oh, I love that. So, how excited were you when she won Female Performer of the Year at AVN?
Oh my God, I was so excited because, like, Kira, I don't think people understand how hard she works. Like, this girl works her fucking ass off, like, nonstop, and she really deserved that. Like, she deserves a lot more, like, which I could just see her getting so much bigger and so much more, and it makes me so proud because I remember like you know hearing her maybe not say the nicest thing about herself every once in a while like we all do. And so now I have this thing where I can shove it in her face that she's actually award winning, and so she's lying to herself. I'm like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, so I was just extremely proud. I actually regret not being there, but she called me like the instant after everyone stopped cheering, and like seeing that picture of her up there on stage, like barely, I think she's like this because she like can't even handle it.
She's like on the verge of tears. Yeah. My favorite. I wasn't there either.
Like one of my favorite photos.
But I did watch like the video, and my favorite thing was the way that the entire industry stood up and like clapped for her. Like you can. I'm getting emotional too. Kira, you have us in tears.
It's because like, she's just been through. Yeah,
and she's just such like. There's nobody who like doesn't love her. Like working with her, she's so great, and just to see like the way that everybody was like behind her on that, you know what I mean? It's like, it's those moments. And you know, like the adult industry is a lot of things. It ain't perfect.
Yeah.
Like you've articulated so well. But when you see those moments where like the community really comes together and like celebrates somebody who like deserves it so much, there's like something that's so deeply moving about that.
It's that part. It's the part about like how much she deserves it. And like, you know, she's been through a lot. And watching her, like, blossom into, like, this confident, award-winning, like, that bitch. It's definitely very moving. And it's something that I've kind of have always wanted, even when we were just friends. Like, I always just wanted her to be able to, like, see how beautiful and talented and, like, loved that she really is. So I'm just hoping that it continues to do that for her, because, like, that's just really what she deserves. Like, she really deserves it. Yeah. Like, she's really a great person. Yeah. So it's nice to see that. I'm so fucking proud of her. Like, I can't. Yeah. My little inspo.
It's fine. Wow. Who knew that we were going to start crying over Kira Nuara winning AVN Female Performer of the Year.
I don't care about that type of stuff, you know? But, like, I like watching her. Like, yeah. Oh, God. She's just adorable. And she really, she worked hard for that. So yeah. That means a lot.
Congratulations, Kira.
Yeah.
We love you. Her more than me, because she knows you better.
My little baby.
I also love you. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we are going to wrap this up. I do have some Patreon questions for you. I got a lot of questions for you that people have asked. So we'll get to that in a bonus segment. But before we finish up, you know, considering everything that you've been through, I just was wondering if you had a piece of advice for, like, a new girl looking to get into the industry. Like, what do you know now that you wish you had known back then?
Well, this sucks because we're just, like, leaving on such a... So, the awards, while Kira specifically worked her ass off to get that award, I do know that there is a negative impact on focusing your whole entire goal and value on these awards. Mm-hmm. My piece of advice is to put your time into yourself and hang on. I got to think of what I would, like, literally tell myself. Like,
maybe, like, stay true to who you are.
Like, keep going and don't let anyone push you to do anything that you aren't ready for. And don't feel like you're going to miss out, because whatever is meant for you will literally be for you. But also, don't be afraid to ask. And not everybody that acts like your friend is your friend. Some of these hoes suck, okay? And I mean the men too, because the men's is hoes too. But I think, yeah, keep going. Stay true to self and stay fucking unique. Because that's something that I slipped up on for a little while. But when I got in, there was no way I was going to shoot looking like this. I had to remove all my piercings and everything. But now I think there's a way in which you can commit to your individuality, and I think that is my biggest piece of advice. Commit to your fucking self.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, to unfairly, actually, it's probably easier to do that now with
way easier now
platforms like OnlyFans and stuff like that. Before, you were beholden to whoever was going to book you.
Yeah. So, girls like Valerica, I can't remember her last name, but she's got this purple hair, tattoos. Like, there's just girls that look, I think Olivia J, too. Like, a lot of girls are, like, wearing their natural hair or, like, colorful hair, tattoos and piercings, and all this stuff is more widely accepted. So don't be scared.
Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Have a meltdown, and browsers will sign you.
Yeah, just have a meltdown. Tell everyone you hate them. Don't lie about it, but, like, be honest, and then you'll get a contract. That's great.
Well, Demi, thank you so much. You, you're just a shining bright light.
Thank you so much.
And it was such a pleasure to have you on. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah. Do I look here?
That is your camera, so you can
look. Hello, everybody. So you can find me on Twitter. It's just at Demi Sutra. There's so many fakes. And then Instagram at Bratty Demi _official. and more importantly, my OnlyFans, which is demisutra.com.
Fantastic. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Go to hollylinks.com for all of my social media platforms and my OnlyFans as well. If you're a Patreon member, you will be able to access the special Q&A we're going to do right now, where Patreon members send in their questions.
Yay, I'm excited, Q&A.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you give Demi a follow if you're not already. Let her know that you saw her here on this podcast so she knows that I did not waste her time. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my Not Safe for Work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.